Well, our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. It's from the 19th chapter, and it's from verses 1 through 10. And you've already had a preview of this through our children. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is going to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times that amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost."
We often make decisions about people based on whom they're associated with. So, for example, when I was in college, we had social clubs, kind of like sororities and fraternities, and we would stereotype those social clubs. Shouldn't have done that, but that's what we would do. And we would say, well, if you were an athlete, then you're probably in this club. And if you're someone who likes music or singing, you're probably in this club. And if you like to go party, you're in this club. And if you're really spiritual, you're in this club. And so when someone would ask you, "What club are you in?" they were immediately making a decision about what kind of person you are based on whom you associated with. This is the reason why parents tell their children, be careful the friends that you make. Because we know that if you're associating with certain friends and hanging out with people who aren't up to any good, you might not do anything that's wrong. You might not be participating in any kind of sinful activity. But if you're associating with a group of people that are doing things like that, it's not going to look good. We sometimes refer to this as guilt by association. And even though you weren't doing anything wrong, you were there. And you were associating with people that were. And so we make decisions about people based on who they associate with. And because we know this, it causes us to think carefully about the associations we have. And so we very carefully think through the decision about where to go to college and what kind of friends we're going to have and what school we're going to be a part of and what associations or clubs that we're going to be a part of. Or even what church we're going to attend. We think carefully about these things because we know that whichever decision we make of whom we're going to associate with, there are going to be other people who are going to be making a decision about us based on that. And on the one hand, that can be a good thing because it causes us to think very carefully about the friends and the associations that we have and making sure that they're good because we know what other people are going to think about us. But on the other hand, it can be bad. Because if we're not careful, when we make our decisions, the number one criteria that we use in making decisions is what do other people think about me? And we get real wrapped up in what others think about me or how they perceive me. And I don't think that's the way Jesus lived his life. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. If you're new this morning, we've been studying a series entitled Jesus Christ, Friend of Sinners. We've been looking at five texts in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus, either directly or indirectly, is associating with people who in that society were referred to as sinners, social outcasts. And this morning we want to look at the story of Zacchaeus. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, there is this section that is sometimes referred to as the journey or travel narrative. It starts at the end of chapter 9. It goes all the way towards the end of chapter 19. And it's the portion of Jesus' ministry where he is traveling or journeying from Galilee to Jerusalem. And when we get to chapter 19, he's almost to the end of that journey. He's almost to Jerusalem. And it's because of that that there are some scholars who think that this story in Luke 19 is kind of a summary, kind of a climactic summary of what Jesus' ministry is all about. He's almost to Jerusalem. He's at his last stop, which is the city of Jericho. And as he's passing through Jericho, we learn that there is this man named Zacchaeus. And very quickly, Luke tells us three descriptions about Zacchaeus that aren't good. Number one, he is a chief tax collector. Now, I mentioned 2 weeks ago how Jews looked at tax collectors and how they thought they were the scum of the earth because, number one, they thought they were traitors because they worked for the Roman government, the enemy. Number two, because they were thieves, they would take in more tax than what they really had to and they would pocket the difference. But then number three, because they were continually in a state of uncleanness because they were around pagans and Gentiles all the time. And so because of that, nobody who was a Jew wanted to be around a tax collector. Well, there's only one person in all of Scripture who is referred to as a chief tax collector. And that's Zacchaeus. He was the chief scum of the earth. He was the worst of the worst. Nobody wanted to be around this guy. But then number two, we learn that he is rich. He is wealthy. And this is bad for two reasons. Number one, because the Jews would know that he is wealthy pretty much because he's stolen money from us. He's charged more than he needs to, and he's taken all of that. He's probably over a bunch of tax collectors, and he's taking all of that they're getting. He's taken a bunch off the top, and he's pocketing for himself. And so he's rich because of us, because he's taken money from us. And so Jews knew that, and they didn't like that when they saw that he was wealthy. But number two, this is a bad thing, because if you read through the Gospel of Luke, over and over again, Luke records Jesus' sayings that do not speak positively about the wealthy. So, for example, in Luke, he tells a story about the rich young ruler who walks away from Jesus. And he tells the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus goes up to be with Abraham. The rich man goes down to Hades. And he tells a story about the rich man who wanted to build bigger barns and how he died in the middle of the night and how he was a fool for wanting that. And even Luke records this, what we sometimes call the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus says, "Woe to the rich." Over and over again in the Gospel of Luke, we have these negative stories about those that are wealthy. And so here is Zacchaeus, and he's wealthy. That's not good. That's strike number two. And then strike number three is that he is short. And I just want to apologize to everybody who's short in this audience. But, I mean, normally when we think of strong leaders and people with great influence, we don't typically think of short people. There's exceptions to this, I know. But we think of handsome people as tall, with broad shoulders and muscular, right? And here's Zacchaeus, and he didn't get those genes. So he's got three strikes against him. He's chief tax collector, he's wealthy, and he's short in stature. Everybody probably knows who he is in Jericho, and nobody wants to be around him. But Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. And I've often wondered, why is it that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so badly? It couldn't have just been curiosity. It was more than that. Maybe he had heard some stories about how Jesus was favorable to tax collectors. Maybe he had heard the story how Jesus had actually called a tax collector, Matthew, to be one of his apostles. Maybe he had heard the parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the tax collector who went to the temple to pray, and when they left, it wasn't the Pharisee who pleased God, it was the tax collector who was justified in God's eyes. Maybe he had heard those stories, and he thought, just maybe, if Jesus could have mercy on Matthew, if Jesus could tell a story about a tax collector receiving grace, maybe there is grace for me. And so Zacchaeus runs ahead to try to see Jesus, and he gets creative because he can't see over the crowd. And so like the children said, he climbed that sycamore tree, a tree that has many branches that it's easy to climb. And he gets in that tree so he can see Jesus. And what I love about that moment is here is Zacchaeus willing to do something undignified. I mean, when was the last time you saw a grown man in a tree? Come on. I've been to parades, I've been to sporting events, I've been to fireworks displays. I've never seen a grown man in a tree to try to get a better view. I've seen kids, but I've never seen a grown man climbing a tree. And if I did see a grown man in a tree, I'd be like, what are you doing? You're crazy. But Zacchaeus didn't care because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus so bad, he didn't care what other people thought of him. And he was willing to do something a little bit undignified if he could pursue Jesus more. And Jesus is walking along and he comes to this spot. And he looks up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, I don't know how he knew his name. Doesn't tell us in the story. But I do know this, Jesus notices people who are seeking him passionately. He notices those people. And he says, Zacchaeus, you come down immediately because I must go to your house. And Zacchaeus must have, I've always imagined he almost fell out of the tree at that moment. He couldn't believe his ears. What? Do you want to come to my house? It says that he climbed down out of the tree immediately. The same word is used that Jesus used when Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus. And he accepted Jesus and welcomed him into his home. This was a dream come true. This was his lucky day. He was hoping to see Jesus. He was hoping to hear of Jesus. And now Jesus wants to come to his house. But then the crowd reacts. They see who Jesus is associating with, and they start to make a decision about Jesus. He's going to the house of a sinner. This is a public relations nightmare for Jesus, respected teacher, going to the house of the chief tax collector. But Jesus, his ministry is not based on public opinion. He's not concerned about the tabloids and the public relations fiasco. He's concerned about Zacchaeus. And when Zacchaeus sees that Jesus has the courage and the mercy to go and be at his house that day, transformation happens in Zacchaeus' life, and he makes this declaration, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. I'm going to pay back four times over anyone that I have wronged. And whenever you start talking about your money, you know something's happened in your heart. And that's the point. Repentance has happened in Zacchaeus' heart. He's given his heart to Jesus. And Jesus responds by saying, salvation has come to this house. And what I love about this story is that both Jesus and Zacchaeus are willing to do something that in the public eye is just a little bit awkward. Zacchaeus is willing to climb that tree. For a grown man, that's a little bit awkward. But he does it because he wants to pursue Christ more. And Jesus is willing to go to the house of a chief tax collector. In the community eye, that was awkward and humiliating. They grumbled and complained. Because that's not what a teacher ought to be doing. But he's willing to do that. And why? Why is he willing to do that? Well, he tells us at the end of the story. Like I mentioned, we believe that this text, this story is kind of a climax, a summary of Jesus' ministry. What is his ministry about? What is it based on? Is it based on what the community wants him to do? Is it based on what people think he ought to do? Is it based on what the Pharisees think he should be doing? No, here's what his ministry is based on in verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. That's what his ministry was based on. That's why he went to the house of Zacchaeus. It wasn't about what other people thought about him. It was about seeking and saving what was lost. And here is Zacchaeus, who was lost, who was seeking Jesus. And he says, I'm going to go to your house, even though it's going to be a little bit awkward. Even though it's going to be a little humiliating and embarrassing in the community eye, I'm going to do it for the sake of the mission. And sometimes to pursue Christ and to be engaged in his mission, you have to do some things that are a little bit awkward, a little bit humiliating, a little bit embarrassing, to the point where people might say, why are you doing that? Why are you up in that tree? Why are you going to his house? Doesn't make sense. But we do it for the sake of the mission. You know, over the past 4 years, our family's lived in the neighborhood of the church building. We've had some awkward moments, I would say. And one of those was a couple years ago, we had a barbecue. We were going to have a cookout for all of our neighbors. And so we made preparations. We thought this might be a way to get to know some of our neighbors. And so we made preparations, made little flyers and passed them around to all of our neighbors so that they would come and share hot dogs with us. And as I was passing out the flyers, there was one of our neighbors at the time, they don't live next to us anymore, but at the time, his name was Mike. He just happened to be standing next to one of the other neighbors I was inviting. I didn't know Mike. I never met Mike up till that point. And I just kind of casually just said, hey, by the way, if we're having hot dogs tonight, if you want to stop by, feel free to do so. Okay, thanks. Didn't think any more of it. The whole idea went through my mind. Didn't even tell Lindsay about that I talked to Mike. Well, so we're having our cookout. And we're actually wrapping things up, packing things up, putting away the hot dogs. And here comes Mike and his wife and the three kids, and they're walking by. And they don't say, hey, are y'all still, you still have some hot dogs, or, you know, are y'all wrapping up? No. They walk down the sidewalk, up our sidewalk, onto our porch, plop themselves down on our furniture on our porch, say, hey, guys, what's going on? And Lindsay's looking at me saying, who are these people? Because I hadn't told her about that conversation. They were there to have hot dogs. It was awkward. And it got even more awkward as we started talking and learning more about their story and said, What do you do? Well, I'm a minister at a church. He said, oh, are y'all one of those churches? I told him Southside Church. Are y'all one of those churches where everybody goes, hey? I don't know what kind of church where everybody goes, hey. I didn't know exactly what to say at that point. We're just trying to follow Jesus. That's all. It was awkward. It was an awkward moment. Sometimes when you're following Jesus for the sake of the mission, you have awkward moments. It's awkward to start that spiritual conversation up with your neighbor. It's awkward. It's awkward to knock on that door. It's awkward to invite that neighbor over to your house. It's awkward to walk into jail to teach the Bible. It's awkward to tutor that child. It's awkward to go into a different culture. These things are awkward, folks. They're humiliating. They're embarrassing. And yet that's what Jesus did for the sake of the mission of God. So the question of the story is, are we willing to endure a little bit of public humiliation? Are we willing to climb up in that tree? Are we willing to go to that house that nobody expects us to go to, all for the sake of seeking and saving what was lost? Friday night, about 200 of us gathered to watch the documentary Facing Darkness that chronicled the Samaritan's Purse response to the Ebola crisis in Liberia. And if you weren't here, I don't want to make you feel guilty, but you missed it, folks. You just missed it. It was good. Really, really good. It was emotional. And as I've thought about that documentary, thought about this story in Luke 19, it's amazing how here were workers who recognized, and Kent and Amber were two of them, but there was a whole group of them, workers who recognized this is risky stuff. This is a crisis that's happening around us, a fatal crisis of a fatal disease, Ebola, and this is risky, humiliating, embarrassing stuff. And yet for the sake of the mission, they were willing to enter into it for seeking and saving what was lost. And are we willing to do the same? What is it in your life that you're not doing in trying to pursue God? You're not doing it because you're concerned, what are other people going to think? What is it that you've held back in doing for the sake of the mission of God, that you've held back because what are they going to think when I do that? They're going to start grumbling. They're going to start asking a lot of questions. It's going to be a little bit embarrassing. And whatever that is, maybe this morning is the time to recommit your life. I'm going to pursue Christ. I'm going to pursue his mission. And if it requires me climbing up the tree, I'm climbing up the tree. If it requires me going to the house of Zacchaeus, I'm going to that house because I want to be moved by the mission of God. And that starts in the waters of baptism. And baptism's awkward. You get dunked in water. That's strange and weird. But it's where we're united with Christ. It's where we pursue Christ. And if you're ready to take that step of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Just come to the front and we'll help you. Maybe you need prayer and encouragement this morning. We're going to have elders surround this auditorium. It's awkward, folks, to walk to one of these elders. It just is. We try to make it as easy as possible, but it's a little bit awkward. But if we're pursuing Christ as much as we can, and if we need encouragement, then let's do it. Let's do it. Let's help one another. If we can encourage you in any way, please come now. Together we stand and sing.